These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelleher and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour with Kelleher and Maz from our Star Market broadcast studios at the TD Garden. It's undergone some changes here in terms of access into the building. They've really done some nice things here. Took them about 25 years to do it, but here we are. Building is finally starting to look the way it should look.
Is that how old this building is now?
Was it 94, 95?
Oh, my gosh. 95. Wow. Yep. But that is scary.
95.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how old we are.
Terrifying.
How long ago?
God.
But it took them that long to...
Wow.
But it looks like they've done a great job. Finally. Better late than never. Okay. Rob Gronkowski. You read Ben Volen today in the Globe?
Of course I did.
Okay. Headline reads, Gronk more of a luxury. Gronk more of a luxury than a necessity. And I added that last part. But basically, oh no, with the subhead, Gronk more a luxury than necessity. Ben Volen writes, the Patriots always want Gronkowski in the lineup, of course. But playing without him isn't the death knell it used to be. Or at least was perceived to be. Volen writes that the Patriots have built enough depth the past few years to withstand Gronkowski's injuries. In the 34 games he has missed, over the last seven seasons, playoffs included, the numbers don't fall off much. He says since the start of the 2012 season, when Gronkowski suffered his first significant injury, the Patriots are 67-19. That's a 779 winning percentage with him in the lineup, and 26-8, 765 without him. They have scored 30.5 points per game with him and 27.8 points without him. Only under 3-point difference. He writes that they made two Super Bowls with him, winning in 14 and losing in 17, but they won one without him too in 2016. He writes, more recently, the Patriots have barely flinched when Gronkowski is injured. This one I couldn't believe. Without Gronkowski since the start of the 2016 season, without Gronkowski since the start of the 2016 season, sorry, they are 14-1 without Gronkowski, including an 11-0 mark in 2016. This year they're 2-0 and averaging 34.5 points per game without him. And the Patriots are actually converting a higher rate of red zone opportunities without him than with him, 67% to 64%. Your thoughts?
Okay, against who? So, and the other thing is, with what roster? So, like, you know, I think it's, can you tell me that they're better at it now than they were earlier in Gronk's career and during his absence? Yes. I would say overall, yes. Because I think that Belichick, and this goes back to that famous comment he made on the sideline to Jamie Erdahl, right? About, you know, we've gotten used to playing without Gronk, we'll figure out a way, or something of the like. I think there is a certain truth to that. However, you think this roster can do it without him? Because I don't. And I I'm talking about this year,
right,
this team.
Right.
No Brandon Cooks, no Amendola. Now they can win without Gronk too. And maybe with Edelman being who knows what. Let's see how that one plays out over the longer term.
But if Edelman's healthy and Josh Gordon continues to play at the level he's playing at, I think they can get by.
As long
as James White can stay healthy too.
I don't. See, I don't think Gordon right now is good enough. Well, you know, he's okay. But I don't think he is this elite threat on the outside. He's been all right. I mean, he's been okay. And that's good because, honestly, I think that's all they need there if everyone else is healthy, including Gronk. I just think this team needs him more than some other teams because, as Volen says in this column in today's Globe, at one point he says they've done a better job of building depth. Does this team have depth at wideout?
I don't feel like
it. Or pass catchers?
I don't feel like they do.
I mean, again, that's why I say, if you want to tell me over the long haul of the last couple of years, fine. Yeah, great. This year, this team, no. No way. To me, not enough. I don't believe that.
14-1 without Gronk since the start of the 2016 season, including an 11-0 mark in 2016.
Yeah, the one loss isn't even because of an injury. It's because of suspension. That's last year against Miami.
So what do you think, Murray?
That they can get by without him? I mean, they have proven it that they've been able to, but it really relies on the health of Edelman and James White. If those two in particular can stay healthy from the rest of the season and Josh Gordon continues to play at this level, I think he's shown a knack to make tough catches, I think that, yeah, they can get by without him.
I mean, I'll give you a good one. Do you beat Houston this year without him?
On opening day, yeah.
Yeah, you find a way to beat Houston.
You do?
Yes.
Deshaun Watson, are you talking about the opening day?
Yeah.
Yeah, of
Deshaun
course.
Deshaun Watson couldn't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, and what was the final score of the game? 27-21, and all the plays were to Gronk?
I don't remember.
That was garbage time that they ended up tacking on that extra touchdown at the end of that game.
I'm not sure they win that game.
Oh, you're out of your mind. This is revisionist history.
Out of your mind, Maz. Out of your mind.
I don't care.
Houston
I don't think
sucked that day.
I'm telling you, I don't think that. I'm not sure they win that game. Their offense was putrid that day without Gronk.
Bad example.
Yeah, and Houston's was worse.
If you want to tell me the Rams in the Super Bowl and you have to score 40, okay. They're going to need him.
Or you see the Chiefs again in the AFC Championship game. Okay, yeah, you'll need him.
Going to need him. The Texans at home on opening day?
Go look at how many other guys were a factor in that offense that day. It was all about Gronk. 100% about Gronk. No Edelman on the field at that time. You didn't have Josh Gordon at the time. You didn't have Malcolm Mitchell. You didn't have anyone else. It was Gronk. It was all Gronk, which is why, again, fine, you can tell me you don't believe
they would have figured something else out.
Fine, whatever. I'm telling you that this year, this team, no. No Gronk. I'm not going to belabor the point with you on the Houston game because I'm telling you, I think they would have lost it. But that aside, I look at it and say this team cannot withstand the absence of Gronkowski, especially against good competition. You want to beat Miami and Buffalo? Great. We can put Murray out there and play tight end and beat Miami and Buffalo. All due respect, they haven't faced the Jets yet, Murray either. But that said, there's no question in my mind. They won with Dwayne Allen playing tight end this past week, for crying out loud. His Green Bay sucks so bad. So, but they're going to be good competition without Gronk? No way. No way. They're not good enough. Not this year.
So does this week qualify?
It's borderline.
Who is good competition in this league?
Well, so, again, exactly. Which is why the numbers look so good. So, at Pittsburgh, can they win without Gronk? Because they're going to give up some points that week.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I say no. I don't think they can win that game without Gronk.
It's obvious.
Maybe they'll prove me wrong.
They'd be better with him. That's pointing out the obvious. But again, if Edelman and White remain healthy, I feel better about it considering how well they've looked in this offense, especially White.
See, the Patriots want you to believe this now because they tried to trade his ass in May.
So this is a subjective thing that we're just sort of projecting. Who knows? The part that interests me is what you're just hitting on now, which is, did Bill have it right with the player? Okay, never mind that they win without him now. They win Super Bowls without him now. But when he is in there, he doesn't look so hot. He's not separating. He's not getting targeted in the red zone. He's not, even when he's in there, he's not the factor in the offense that he was because he doesn't look like the same guy. Whether that's he's just physically beat up or he's lost some passion, he's already talked about retiring. Like, I don't know what the reason is. I just know how it looks. So, A, he doesn't look right when he's in there. B, when he's not in there, they're still winning. And you could have gotten a first-round pick for him because that's what Bill wanted to do. And you didn't do it because the owner and the quarterback now run the team. That's the part of the story that interests me. Whether they would win with him or without him, we'll all find out. Like, that's, now we're into projecting and predicting games, which I hate doing. But that other piece, that's what I look at. Did Bill have it right on Gronkowski like he had it right on Malcolm Butler, like he had it right on this guy, and that guy?
Well, look, again, I think that's what he wants you to believe right now, and I don't know who the source of this. You know how it works.
There's no source. It's an opinion piece. He just had this on his own, Maz.
Yeah, except I was just going to say, see the smirk on your
face? There's no smirk on my face.
Yeah, which doesn't translate
on
the radio.
That's straight up trolling Volan. You think they talk to him down there?
Yeah, because you know what it's like when you're on a beat, that a lot of the stuff you generate, even if there aren't quotes in it, are generated by conversations you have.
Gasper got the Versace belt. Okay, he got the Dolce and Gabbana belt. There's no question about it. Volan? I don't know. I don't think they're in those kind of terms.
What do you think they gave Volan? Like, what would be his?
Lifts.
If Bedard's getting donuts and Gasper's getting the cashmere scarf.
Lifts. I know, but it's the only thing I got.
Phone books.
A little short.
Yeah, to sit on in his car so we can see over the dashboard. Something of the like. And then, Ben, don't take that personally because I use him too, pal. All right, that's the way it goes. But like, you and I, I'm well. You know, I can totally see your conversation there, because it play the audio from it too. If you go back and look at it or look at the transcript, Volan's the one that asked him about playing without Gronk, and Belichick gave him a very nice answer.
Oh, was there a little twinkle in his eye when he answered?
He called him by name. Well, that's a good question.
Then you know what? I take it back. I take it back. Ben got some geranimals or something.
Okay.
He got something.
He said, that's a good question, Ben, which tells me, like,
set up.
Did they email him the question before he asked it? Or, like, did it just pop off the top of it? Again, I'm picking on Volan.
No,
I was guilty of all the same stuff when I covered a beat.
It does happen. You might want to ask him about dot, dot, dot. that happens, or it used to.
So I'm just telling you that I think that Belichick would love it out there. That and now your question of is he right about Gronk? He might be. I mean, he might be. He usually is. So he, you know, most times he sees a player deteriorating, he says, "Okay, it's time." And most of the time, he's right. So I think there's every chance that he was right about Gronk, and he got good value, and someone got in his way.
Okay, the Gronkowski story. Butler benching in context.com on the table. We have some Red Sox discussion today. We had some Terry Rozier discussion today. Whatever you want with your calls, I promise, right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
First and 10 from the 48 of Casey, dropping back, throwing a long ball right for Gronkowski. Separation, makes the open with the shorter catch. And he's tackled by Parker inside the 10.
Two Hall of Famers just making a play at the end of a game when you need it. What a throw by Brady. And now you get the separation. And how do you cover a guy like this, get the jam with no help over the top? That's boneheaded by Kansas City. Why do you take advantage of it?
All right, so that was that big play on the last drive against Kansas City a couple weeks ago that set up the game-winning field goal. Did they beat Kansas City without Rob Gronkowski?
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
It was a first down play. That's where they decided to go. They could have gone wherever they wanted against Kansas City. Wherever they wanted.
With Gronk on the field. Like, I'm, you know, 43-40 game? No. No. Because I just think Gronk warrants so much attention when he's out there. It makes everybody else better. Like, again, I don't know. Look at what Chris Hogan is when they have players on the field versus when he's not, when they don't. Hogan's nothing. You know, a good, serviceable player if you've had people in front of him and you have them slotted correctly. And I think the Patriots are filled with guys like that. Filled. To me, the high-end talent on their team makes so many other guys better, it's not even funny.
Okay. We continue with the Gronkowski conversation and everything else from today.
I want to know what they fed Volin down there. That's what I want to know.
The question and answer on the transcript is a dead giveaway, Maz. I got to go back and say you're right. Oh, even, like, again, what was the question?
The question was how hard is
it? You don't have it in front of you?
I closed it out naturally.
Of course, the good stuff comes off you.
Yeah. But the question essentially was how difficult is it to game plan for a week to week when you don't know whether Gronk's going to be in there or not? Do you have to have two versions of the game
plan? But again, the way he said it was, how difficult is it on the coaching staff? Like, it was a really sympathetic question to the coach. Like, boy, it must be hard on you, Bill, and the coaching staff to manage week to week not knowing about this guy. And then Bill answers, that's a good question, Ben. it's a setup. You're right, Maz. What'd they give him?
Volin, who they treat like poison down there.
What did they give him? Well, they've been handing out bonbons all week down there.
I mean, Brady was ready to, like, punch Volin in the face when he asked him about Alex Guerrero in the preseason, for crying out loud. He stormed off like a child.
Bob and Pembroke, what do you got for us on Malcolm Butler?
Right. They wanted Butler. Don't let them tell you different. They chose him over Logan Ryan. Gilmore was brought in to replace Logan Ryan. And Logan Ryan was the pick. Who's the one they should have kept? They chose Butler. Because they were afraid to sign him, and Butler would go off the reservation and get offended. That's where the mistake.
Okay, well, Bob, you know what? You got it half right. They didn't want Butler over Gilmore when it came to the end of the 2016 season, and it was standing there right for him. They could have re-upped Malcolm Butler right there, or they could sign Stephon Gilmore in free agency. They made the right call when it got to that point. Okay, but it took them a while. It's not like they knew from day one Malcolm Butler was this, because in 2016 they offered him a contract that was just a little bit below what he ultimately got from Tennessee. They wanted the player.
See, that? I mean, to me, I think that's the part that you can't overlook. They made an effort to keep him, which means they like, so again, now all of a sudden they're geniuses because he's in Tennessee and he stinks. Like, sometimes you luck into it. Sometimes the best deals are the ones that you never make, as the saying goes, and in this case, they got a little lucky.
Mark and Saugus. Hi, Mark.
Hey, with regard to the L.A. Chargers and their 6-2 record thus far, if they're actually able to keep the momentum going and secure a wild card spot, should they be viewed as more than just a speed bump in a potential playoff match?
Murray probably likes him for some reason. I can sense it.
Yeah, I do. And I've been talking about this. And I know Zoe does, too. But I know, shame on me, because I like a high-powered offense. And Phillip Rivers has played on an MVP-type level. I think he has 16 touchdowns and 3 picks. So, yeah, they've had a cream puff schedule and the Chargers. And they have a propensity to puke on themselves. But they could knock off the Steelers or someone in that second round.
Oh, yeah.
They could win the division still.
No, they're a game and a half behind Kansas City. They lost to them earlier. That's their one tough game left.
But they get another one with them, right?
In Kansas City.
Yeah, could the Chargers beat another team that's prone to puke on themselves like the Steelers? Yes. I'm not taking the Chargers seriously till they get there. They are, and I guess I'll put Kansas City in the same boat. You know, they're a team that loves to get to the divisional round, have a home playoff game, and then shart down the inside of their leg.
Yeah, if they had to come here and play, in mid-January with Anthony Lynn going against Belichick, I'm taking the Patriots. But they could knock someone off in the first or second round. Sure.
Hey, look, I picked him in the preseason to go to the Super Bowl. So you're not going to get me to dump on the Chargers. That was the team I picked out of the AFC, and I picked New Orleans in the NFC.
Here's Tim on something we hit on couple days ago. Jaylen Brown has him winning not 4, not 5, but maybe 6 championships before the age of 28. And I asked, we've been ragging on LeBron James for 8 years for doing the exact same thing in Miami. Called him every name in the book. Another example of what a tool bag LeBron James is. We've ragged on LeBron James ever since he did that in Miami. Not 4, not 5, not 6. Yet Jaylen Brown does the exact same thing. What's the difference, green teamers? Tell me. And not just the fact that you hate LeBron and Jaylen Brown wears green. Intellectually, as an adult, tell me what the difference is. This is, I think, what Tim and Rosendale wants to talk about. Go ahead, Tim. See, I just spent a minute setting it up. So we don't have to,
put him on hold.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. Set him up perfectly, and there you go.
That was a long warm-up.
We got a broken-up Felger.
No, you get nice loose hamstrings now, though. It was a nice long warm-up.
We haven't hung up on you. Go somewhere and stop, Tim. And we'll play back up when you're ready. Here's Joe, and he drops. Good Lord. Calls back. I don't want that thing to go to waste. Joe in Boston. Go, Joe.
Hey, so I have a friend who works in strength and conditioning with the Pats, and right after the Super Bowl, he sent me this on why Butler was benched. First, Butler didn't travel with the team because he was sick, so he stayed in Boston. When the team got him his flight to Minnesota, he missed the flight and had to come the next day. Second, he was late to 2 team meetings and showed up intoxicated to at least 1. Third, he practiced like crap all week and was dogging it and blamed it on his sickness. 4, the last straw was he went out on Saturday night to DJ Khaled's party and was hungover on Sunday morning.
Okay, so the last thing has been proven wrong. The last thing has been absolutely proven wrong, and I don't believe the drinking thing, Joe. I don't believe that drinking thing.
Then why was he in uniform?
And if all that happened, what idiot team activates that player for a game? Puts him in uniform. Who does that? No, you send that player home. I don't believe any of your crap, in fact. And if Malcolm Butler was doing that, he wouldn't have gotten the uniform support from his teammates. A giveaway that he didn't do anything really bad is that Brady had his back, Hightower had his back. All these players came out and supported him after the game.
Everyone except Devin McCourty, right? Devin McCourty said they knew all week.
Devin had some back and forth. There were some comments that said we would have liked him there, and then he had some others that were supportive of the team. I think Devin is a good politician, was playing both sides.
And then right after that, they signed his brother.
Which becomes Jimmy?
Hush money.
Thank you. There's a little bit of a delay down the line.
No, we need a hush money drop. That's what we need. Except it's live. It's a live drop.
No, so if he's showing up drunk to practices and hungover drunk the night before, is Tom Brady supporting that guy?
No.
No way.
So stuff it.
No way. I mean, it's like, again, I'm telling you, I think there's some to the McCourty going back and forth thing, too. I think, McCourty's a leader. Belichick knows he has credibility. I think someone went to him to say, just, help us out here a little. And we'll give your brother a job.
Exactly.
I'm telling you, I think there's something to that. Now, maybe that makes me a complete idiot, but so what?
No. Veek in Rhode Island. Hi, Veek.
All right, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So I've been really reflecting on what I've seen the past 6 weeks. I remember when the Patriots were 1-2, and then a couple weeks after that, I think Maz was the one that said, even though they won, it's like it kind of felt like they lost, and we had a nice little parody about that. But this 7-2 team doesn't look like other teams I've seen in the past. In fact, not to sound cynical, they look like a 7-2 team masquerading as a 5-4 or 4-5 team, because I take a look at some of these games and I'm just like, shell-shocked watching the X's and O's of the game, and it's like, gosh, that game really could have gone totally different, and I think the Patriots kind of caught a break. Mitch Trubisky and Mahomes couldn't hit the side of a barn for the first 20 minutes of either game, and Mike McCarthy should be fired. That whole offensive scheme completely stinks.
Vic, I'm kind of with you on the overall thing. I'm not feeling it with the team. I mean, I see the record. I know the position they're in. But again, I just want to ask, like, I'm surprised so many people are acting like, oh, see, here they are. Like, did anyone think they were going to be 4-5? I mean, that's ridiculous. They were never going to be 4-5 given the competition. And it seems like they've been home for a lot of their challenging games. You get Green Bay at home. You get KC at home. You get these teams at home. So you had all these home games. And the competition isn't strong. I don't know. Like, they're 7-2, and I'm still not. I'm really not impressed.
No, because you're grading them on the quality of play, and which is the right way to do it. You're looking at it and saying, how well are they playing? And I don't think they're playing all that great. Now, the game defensively this past week was better. There's no two ways about it. Their secondary was good.
I think that was the best game defensively for them this year. And in the first half against Kansas City, they were scheming it to confuse Pat Mahomes. Once he got comfortable, then he shredded him in the second half. So you got to give him credit in that first half, though.
Okay, I got to go back to Tim. He's back on because I did. I spent a minute setting the thing up. So please pay it off, Tim and Rozzy. Go ahead on Jaylen Brown comments.
So you want to know why it's not the same? Because LeBron James held a pep rally in Miami to make this announcement. He was on stage with two other millionaires on the stage that looked like it could have been used for a Pitbull concert after he made a decision announced at the Greenwich Boys and Girls Club. So for you to compare Jaylen Brown sitting down with by far the hottest sportscaster in the city in the world right now to LeBron James with his two buddy millionaires in Miami is the worst Celtics take you guys have had in the 2014 season.
What does it matter who they're sitting with?
They did it on stage. Do you remember the stage? They sat down on stools. Because it's not the same.
So what?
How are three millionaires talking about how they're going to win?
What does that matter? No.
Tim, it's the optics.
It's the content of the comments. They were both public comments on the record. What's the difference? Where they were sitting or who they were sitting with?
How are you not going to put the idea that they opened up American Airlines Stadium, the arena, to do this announcement? Do you remember the stage, Felger? It was a concert hall.
It's not the same.
Your optics are, you of all people, are so aware of the larger context of what's going on.
They were public comments
on
the record.
I mean, think about how that looks like. A guy sitting in the Auerbach Center in an interview, one-on-one, versus a guy sitting in a stadium with thousands of people to hear them talk. It's a pep rally, Felger. How can you appreciate LeBron doing that at a pep rally and then attribute that
anything,
to the same thing?
Right. So if anything, Tim, I think LeBron's comments aren't as bad now because it's a pep rally. And
right, he played to the crowd.
People just say things at pep rallies. That was an actual
interview.
So how
is that any different than LeBron playing to the Bleacher Report or the Green Teamers? How is that the same thing as a larger venue of him explaining what his goals are?
No, thank you. No, now that you pointed out, I feel Jaylen Brown's comments are worse.
I don't understand. How are they worse?
Well, I mean, you just told me because LeBron James was at a pep rally where people are prone to say, you know, hyperbolic things. That's the whole point of a pep rally. You exaggerate for the crowd. So put his comments in context. They're not as bad as Jaylen Brown's, who is doing a serious interview with a serious journalist.
And so the seriousness of this charade that LeBron and Chris Bosh and another millionaire put on is, how is that equivalent to be the same thing as what Jaylen did?
Are you a Celtics fan?
I'm a Green Teamer to the core, and I've been listening to you guys since 2014. I am a self-professed Green Teamer. My Twitter handle is ChasingBanner18. I mean, seriously, Felger. I'm with you on most of your – like, your Celtics takes are – I mean, I almost had an aneurysm in the car yesterday, and I appreciate your antagonistic behavior, and I know a little bit of the show, but a lot of it's real, based in facts. But that's just such a terrible take. I don't understand how you can equate the two to being the same. And trust me, I hate LeBron, but I don't hate him nearly as much.
No, I couldn't tell. What's your handle again?
ChasingBanner18.
Okay. Do you think his commentary is based on an actual analysis of the situation or the fact that he's a Green Teamer and he hates LeBron?
Oh, no, B.
I'm just asking.
No. Yeah, the fact that he's a Green Teamer, yeah. The fact that you were comparing to Jaylen Brown to LeBron James personally offended him.
But, I mean, the way he put it, I think now Jaylen Brown's comments are worse. You're supposed to say stupid crap at pep rallies. That's what pep rallies are about. First week of the season in an interview, on the record, on microphone.
And again,
we're going to win 5 or 6 championships? Good Lord.
And still, I stick with this. If you're trying to get a number, you say dumb stuff, too. Granted, I know he said it before, and he acted like they beat Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, but him saying they'd win 5-6 titles by the time he's 28, it's because who's interviewing him.
Yeah, and I will tell you also that, to me, it's the pattern with Brown. Yeah,
exactly.
This is now two or three times that he has talked about how great they are, and actually two times that he's talked about how great they are. The other one, he dismissed his coach after saying that they didn't play any defense in the preseason. He went, who cares? Like, it's preseason. I just think the guy acts like he's accomplished more than he has.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Every afternoon, it's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Really is a difference maker.
Ooh. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
You said you would have liked to have seen him play.
Yeah, I did. I did. You know, yeah.
Obviously, obviously, Bill Belichick's not trying to lose the Super Bowl. No, he wants to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It just seems so mystifying.
Yeah.
He obviously, to the players, too.
I think, you know, the thing, I'll say this, that for a team, this is, you know, this side of the room is the offense, and this side of the room is the defense. We don't interfere with them much. I didn't know. Malcolm kept coming over to me during the game. He's like, come on, TB, let's go, you know. And I kept going, what defense are we in where Malcolm's not on the field?
What defense are we in where Malcolm Butler isn't on the field?
What a comment.
So this is why, like, the thing, what did Butler do that week? It wasn't, like, overtly bad. Because there's no way Butler would have the support of his teammates if he was really effing off that week. They're just, they wouldn't do it. Brady wouldn't support this guy. If he thinks this guy cost him a Super Bowl, do you think Tom Brady was supporting Malcolm Butler?
No.
And make no mistake, Tom Brady supported Malcolm Butler.
So did Gronk.
So did Gronk. So if these guys think he cost them, oh, please.
I mean, they all went on that Instagram post. They all
So, again, I just pulled it up.
Hightower was another one. He was on there.
So all those ridiculous reports of, you know, showing up drunk or high or getting into fights or going out to the rap concert the week before, Malcolm Butler released this statement on Instagram refuting it all, saying, during my 4-year career with the Patriots, I've always given everything I have to play at a high level and would never do anything to hurt my team's chances of winning a game, including this year's Super Bowl, where I visited with my family every night. During Super Bowl week, I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false but hurtful to me and my family. Do you know who was the first person to comment on that post?
Brady.
Tom Brady. Love you, Malcolm. You are an incredible teammate and a player and a friend. Always! Exclamation point.
And those guys are key, right? I mean, you know, obviously leaders of the team, longstanding veterans, all that. Like, because I want to say, how about Amendola's comments? And I know that he had an axe to grind, you know, with the contract and leaving the Patriots and everything else. But I think that Amendola was reflecting what a lot of the guys on the team were feeling at that time. Looking at it going, what agenda is at play here? How is this guy not on the field? What is the logic here for this guy not being on the field? What, because he wouldn't sign the contract? Or, you know, again, there's some personal thing here with Bill? What is it? I think that was Amendola effectively reflecting the comments of that were, you know, generally pervasive in that locker room.
Yeah, especially what Brady has turned himself into in terms of a brand. He's not going to like or comment on Malcolm Butler's Instagram post to cost himself anything down the road or hurt the brand. If Butler actually did something terrible involved with drugs or getting effed up, he wouldn't do it.
No way.
They lined up with their teammate, not with their coach. They did. I mean, I don't think, like, to me, that was one of the more startling things that happened in the aftermath of that.
Mark of the car, your thoughts.
Yeah, hi, guys. The player Tony was just referring to that had an axe to grind, I met his aunt, and she went to a few of the Super Bowls. I asked her because it made no sense to me why he didn't play. Also, I was pissed like everybody else why he wasn't in the game, and we lost. So I asked her, do you have any inside track? And she said that she was told by her nephew that he had words with one of the King's kids, the assistant coach named Belichick, and that's why he didn't play. So,
okay, everyone's got a theory. Everyone's got an aunt who knows a niece who heard from the carpet cleaner.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a lady who's Danny Amendola's aunt.
And I'll tell you, the thing we heard is from, you know, something like that. I saw a guy at a party who works at X, and he told me this. And what I heard sounds right, but I have no idea. It's from the same sort of thing. So it's one of the great parlor games in sports history.
Listen, Belichick's got no excuse on this one. He's got no excuse. I don't care if Malcolm Butler played so bad that the Tennessee Titans cut his ass. There was no excuse for not putting him into that Super Bowl at some point.
All right, on the Rob Gronkowski stuff, a couple of thoughts here. Billy in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing? A comment about Gronkowski from my friend Maz. Maz, you get worked up so much. I think it's from fear.
No.
My mom's 92, and she calls me up every game, and she tells me how they're going to lose, and down, they're not going to win, and so forth and so on. Thank you. Listen, the coach on his team and the players that they pick don't quit. Believe me. They find a way to win. And the defense, I don't want to switch back and forth, Felger, so don't cut me off. The defense last week was winning that game for them. And somehow they come through, and they always find a way to win. So, Felger, calm down. Relax. Enjoy life. Don't get so crazy about these things. Enjoy
it. This is what I enjoy. I enjoy getting crazy about these things. So he's saying they would have won last week without – well, they did win last week without Gronk, so they would have beat Kansas City without Gronk, and they'll beat whoever without Gronk.
Yeah, no, they don't need him. I mean, no, who would want him? What do you need him for? I mean, it's just a waste of money. I mean, clearly, the owner disagrees with the fans because he intervened and wouldn't let him trade Gronk, and Brady was going to quit. So, you know, they must think Gronk's important, those idiots.
Bill? You think if Bill had his
– Bill would have traded him.
Thank you. And he might have been right. Nick in Middleborough. Yes, Nick.
Hey, right on with what you guys are just about to say. The Patriots were right trying to trade Gronk in the offseason. Obviously, with Tom and everybody else, you know, standing on Gronk's side, it didn't happen, but they were right in doing it. Gronk is done. I would be shocked to see him play three more games this year, never mind the playoffs. As far as the Patriots record this year, 7-2, I think that says less about the team and more about the competition like baseball. Thanks, guys. I'll listen to you.
Okay, thank you. I mean, Gronk was going to retire. I mean, not even – he threatened to retire after the trade, you know, was proposed. But he was talking about even before then.
I mean, right after the Super Bowl.
You know, and he's talked about how football and how fun it is and how when it's fun, it's not. So he's always talking about does he love the game like he used to? He's always sort of openly, you know, ruminating about this.
Sure.
Since when does Bill hitch his wagon to a player like that? As soon as a player is 1 foot in retirement, he's retired.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't. He was ready to move on. And look, I don't know if Gronk is done, like the caller said, but it's a reasonable question to ask, or a reasonable question to ask to me would be, is he on the downside? Like, you know, have we seen his best? And I don't think that that's wrong to say that. I mean, I think that Gronk is probably past his peak. In fact, I don't think that's that much of a stretch when you really start to think about it. So can he give you a high level of performance every once in a while? Sure. Yeah, and in a year like this, that's what you're hoping for in the big games, that he gives it to you. But are you going to see the Gronk that you saw at, you know, pick the Seattle year or something like that? I don't think so.
Okay, final word comes your way. Next, we'll delve a little bit deeper into the love affair between Bill Belichick. Well, the scandalous.
Yeah,
the scandalous would-be love affair between Belichick and Aaron Rodgers as Bill cheats on his wife of Tom Brady. I'm just following through on this analogy. That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, so we'll start with this. The latest episode of Showtime's Inside the NFL captured some of Patriots head coach Bill Belichick's candid moments on the sidelines and the Pats' win over the Green Bay Packers. So let's have some fun with it, eh?
Yeah, let's.
Brady drops back, throws it down the left side. Wide open, Gordon makes the catch. Slips a hit. Goodbye. 20-15 tag. Touchdown, Patriots.
Well, Edelman leaped as if he was the intended receiver.
He wanted to be the receiver.
Where are you throwing that to?
How's the job?
All right.
Oh, start the buses. Woo-hoo-hoo. What a Sunday night.
Great job. Good luck for the rest of the event. No, you are. You are.
You're awesome.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay. So basically the idea there is that Belichick goes up to Brady on the biggest play of the game and says, who are you throwing that to?
Yeah.
And then the post game there you hear at the very end is he and Aaron Rodgers, where Aaron Rodgers says, you're the best. And Bill like, no, man, no, you are.
You're the best.
You're awesome.
You're awesome.
He is like Chris so good. Drooling all over Paul McCartney, whoever it is, like, or movie star. Oh, you remember that pass you threw in the playoff game against Dallas? That was awesome.
And then after the game, Jimmy, again, the breathless.
He's just so good.
Bill, he loves himself some Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man. He does.
You're the best.
He does. He's, you know, hitting on him like he's a neighbor's wife.
Don't you?
Totally.
Don't you actually have the best coach? Yeah, you know, near 20 years. I mean, he's been a wonderful partner. We've raised the kids. They ended up fine. We have all these titles. But, man, you're the best.
He's just so good.
Just so good.
No, I do. I like the analogy Matt Murray gave the other day, that he's been married to Brady, but he wants to pork Rodgers.
He wants to bang the neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just it's an instinct.
It's 101, basically.
Yeah, it's really biology.
And then I had my fandom of the Patriots put in question today by Chris and Raynham, because God forbid you don't think like I think.
Chris and Raynham, what do you got for us on Patriots-Titans?
You guys are really talking yourself into circles to try to bash the Patriots this week. Between the Cordell Patterson, the Sony Michael, the Kyle Van Noy, now the Malcolm Butler thing, you guys are in a tailspin trying to come up with reasons that the Patriots made the wrong decisions. Do you guys
see? I wouldn't call it a tailspin. I would call it like on a roll.
Chris, they botched the Butler thing.
Yeah, they botched it. I think we
just let me talk. Big Jim, you're going to the game this Sunday, right?
Yeah, fly out tomorrow.
And do you consider yourself a Patriots fan?
I'm spending my own money to go on this trip, so that's kind of obvious, yes.
I have never met a Patriots fan that has this much.
Do you consider yourself one? Because you can't even say the name of the running back correctly.
Is that all you got?
Hello? Hi?
Is that all you got?
Hello?
You are not a fan.
Yeah, Sony,
you
Michelle, say it. Well, well, well.
Answer
my
question.
You never can tell. Well, well, well. Do you want to finish? Because you can get it right there. Hi, Michelle.
What about calling him Cordell Patterson, the player? Because you have so much disgust for him, you can't even say his name.
He stinks. It's not going to keep working. It only worked when he followed the fullback, stupid.
It
only worked when he followed the fullback. And when the Packers decided, hey, you know what? They're going to keep handing off to this guy, they stopped him.
He stopped him. When he stopped following fullback, he stopped him because he's freaking rightfully down. Oh, my God. Chris, just go. I'm not going to interact with you. I'll give you 30 more seconds. Just go.
You're bashing Cordell Patterson because you were wrong about him. You're bashing the Malcolm Butler move because you guys were wrong about them getting rid of him. You guys were wrong, so you're turning it around. Big Jim, you are not a Patriots fan. You despise this team. And if you used to be a Patriots fan, now you are a big fraud. You're a parrot to Felger and Mazin. That is all you are.
Okay.
Fair enough, Chris. You see me in the streets of downtown Tennessee, where I'm, again, spending my own money out of pocket to go see this team for the 14th straight road game in a row. That's how many years I've done this. Out of pocket. You can put a scarlet letter on me. Bad fan. Boo. Oh, you're not as good a fan as me. The guy who can't even say the name of the running back correctly. screw.
Oh, you feel the love here on Felger and Maz.
Tennessee's the state, stupid. Nashville.
So were you combining Shakedown Street and Michelle My Bell? Like, what song were you singing?
It's My Michelle by Guns N' Roses. I'm personally offended that people on Twitter, too, were like, were you quoting a Guns N' a Grateful Dead song?
Well, that was. The way you sang it was.
My Michelle. It's My Michelle by Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, Murray, you're a bad fan. I think you're a bad fan, Murray. And from now on, I'm going to call bad Pats fans Murray. So
you're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.